Today's scripture reading is Proverbs 14, 12 through 16. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again. If I haven't met you, my name is Jim, one of the pastors here. And if you're one who notices such things, you'll notice that the sermon, Confessing Sin from Proverbs 28, is not the sermon this morning. Bart came down ill yesterday. And so we're still going to look at Proverbs, but I'm not going to preach his sermon. I'm going to preach from Proverbs 14, 12 through 16, the passage that Shelby just read for us, and continue this theme in this book of Proverbs. So we've looked at this for 2 weeks now, and it's so important as we come together that we're all on the same page as to what this wisdom is that is being offered to us in the book of Proverbs. We think of wisdom, and probably for most of us, we think of knowledge, we think of intellect, we think of being smart. And we come to God's word, and that's just not what wisdom is. That's not what is being offered to us. If you look at the first, really, verse of Proverbs, Proverbs 1:2, after Solomon introduces himself, he says, "This book is given to you that you may know wisdom." And as we have said, it's not given to us that we may know about wisdom or kind of know of wisdom or have this head knowledge of wisdom. A better translation for us would be that we may gain wisdom, that the wisdom of God would enter our lives, that we would be changed by it. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, it addresses every single major area of our life. How do we make decisions? How do we live together in a marriage? How do we work? How do we relate to sex? How do we eat? How do we sleep? Every single major area of our lives is affected by this wisdom. So the book is given to us that we may actually receive this gift, gain wisdom, and then live in wisdom. And we've defined wisdom as not just this head knowledge, but the skill of living life well in all of these categories, all of life, the skill of living life well. So the book of Proverbs, as we read through it, as we study it, is given to us that we may gain this wisdom. And we've seen this connection throughout, that wisdom and righteousness go together. Wisdom and righteousness go together. They're co-referential terms, we've said. So to be wise is to be righteous, and to be righteous is to be wise. And we need to understand that righteousness is to do rightly by others. We could say to God, to do rightly by God, and to do rightly by others. So wisdom and righteousness go together. And if we're walking in wisdom, we will walk in the right way, in God's way. And we will walk according to Jesus' teaching, who said it's more blessed to give than to receive. This is the way of righteousness. To live a life where we're willing to, as one scholar said, disadvantage self for the advantage of others. This is wisdom. This is the way of righteousness. So that's what we come to as we come to Proverbs again. And as we come to this, I think there should be two predominant thoughts in our minds as we come to Proverbs again. Number one, man, do I want this wisdom? I need this wisdom. As I live my life, as I make decisions, as I decipher relationships, as I think about my future, as I live in my marriage, as I live with my roommate, as I think about my calling to singleness possibly, as I live in community, I need this wisdom from God. This book is given that we might gain this wisdom. And the second thought I think we should have as we come is not only do I need this wisdom, but I can't get this wisdom on my own. There's not something inside of me, not some internal resource that I can go to and kind of drum up this wisdom, know how to live. A main theme, and this is what we looked at last week, is that this wisdom comes from outside of us. And the primary way wisdom is held up in Proverbs is that we will be a listening people, that we will pursue other voices, that we will pursue correction, that we will even pursue rebuke. The wise man in Proverbs is someone who loves rebuke. So those are the two main thoughts I think we should have. Man, do I want this wisdom? And second, I know that I can't get this wisdom on my own, so I will step into this posture of listening to God, which talks about which points to our relationship to his word. I'll have this posture of listening with others as well. In the multitude of counselors, there is much wisdom. I will be engaged in community and friendships, seeking other voices in my life. The voice of God and the voice of others. This is the way of wisdom. So let me pray for us, and then we'll look more specifically at Proverbs 14, verses 12 through 16. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. As we come, we pray for your help, that you would lead us. Spirit of God, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Many, many years ago, when I was dating my wife, it was one of our first dates. We went down to the Fox Theater in Detroit, and I couldn't believe my luck. It was right close, I mean, this is 20-something years ago now, but right close to the theater in downtown Detroit, probably even a little bit of a different Detroit than it is today, there was this empty parking lot, free parking, no other cars. I couldn't believe my luck. And it seemed like a very good idea, maybe to impress my date, to park there. So we parked there. I mean, all the room in the world, easy walk to Fox Theater, went to whatever show we were seeing and came out, and sadly, the gate was shut and locked, and we couldn't get to our car. As a young man, it seemed like such a good idea to park there. But in the end, it led to at least some embarrassment on my part. And I think we were able to find some guy who was working at the parking lot and get our car eventually. And I don't know how long it took for Bart to find out what happened, the danger I put his way, but long, long time ago. But the point is, it seemed like a good idea at the time. But in the end, it was a very bad idea, and that's what we come to in Proverbs. Again, these two ways are presented to us. There is a way, one way, that seems or appears to be right, looks good, but its end is the way to death. As this person lives their life, they think they're heading in a good direction. It's obvious. It's the way to go. But in the end, here's wisdom. There will be a sad surprise. This way that seems, that appears right, but the end is death. And then there's this way of the wise, the way of the righteous that we come to again and again in Proverbs, where the wise person, verse 14, gives thought to his steps, slows down, lives with wisdom, and the end will be life. A specific quality of life and a quantity of life, a good life and a forever life, the way of wisdom. So let's look first at this way that seems right. There's a way that seems right to a man, to a person. It seems right maybe because of our intuition. It seems right because of just our gut instinct. It seems right because this is what I think or this is how I've been raised. It's just how it is. It seems right, maybe because this is what everybody does. Of course I'm going to follow this path. This is what everybody does. That doesn't mean it's wrong because everybody does it, but it doesn't mean it's right. There's a way that seems right. Sadly, we see this way that seems right, and we charge ahead. And that's the fool in Proverbs. He's presented as someone who acts quickly, without thought, without counsel, independently. Walking down this way that seems right, but in the end, it is the way of death. So this should slow us down. What may seem or feel right, even really right, isn't always right. And here's a vital truth from God that we come to this morning. And I don't think we always think about this, and we don't always think about the way the world around us impacts us. There are always two principles at work as we approach life. One theologian, Richard Lentz, calls these two principles the bias principle and the reality principle. So we approach life, we're living our lives, there's always these two principles at work in each of our lives. The reality principle is the way things are, the moral order of the universe, the way God has designed this world. Objective truth is real, objective morality. The reality principle is how God has designed this world. So that principle is at work as we live our lives, but also this bias principle that affects us all. Our individual context, our upbringing, our culture, our experience, our history, our personality flavors this bias principle, our weaknesses and our strengths. So we approach life, and these two principles are at work. And wisdom is recognizing that these two principles are at work. No one approaches life with this superior neutrality. But how often do we think we approach life with this superior neutrality? That is why the wisdom of Proverbs, again, if you think back to last week, the wise person will be someone who listens, because we all have this bias principle at work. The wise person will live with this posture where they want to receive insight, they want to receive counsel, they even want to receive correction and rebuke. There is a way that seems right, but the end is the sad state of death. So how should this principle, how should this impact us in our lives? I think a few categories we can immediately think of. When you think of leadership in the church, we've addressed this in the last few months. We each come as individuals. How has God designed leadership in the church? He has not designed it for one person to kind of be at the top as the CEO, and this person leads the church. This person sets the agenda. This person has the vision, and everyone else is just yes men and women around him. Whatever you want, leader. In the wisdom of God, leadership is designed for a plurality of people to work together. And how often, even in the short history of the church, my tendency is just to go ahead full steam, where other leaders would say, Jim, slow down. Jim, what about this? And there's the wisdom of we need other voices in leadership, in any kind of leadership situation, and this is the way God has designed the church. So we see the wisdom of having other voices speak into the direction of the church in this example. Or in marriage, how often do we need to hear from our spouse? We're ready to go full steam ahead. We're ready to make decisions. Where marriage will slow you down, and that other voice is so essential. And that's just two people. Or we can think of our view of friendship and community. The value of these things is elevated when we realize there's a way that seems right to me, but it might not be the right way. There's a way that really seems right to me, but it might not be the right way. As we talked about last week, this is the value of intergenerational friendships here in this place. This is why we seek to promote this. When I was a 20, 21-year-old kid, my community and the college I was at was all other 20 to 22-year-old kids. And that was to my detriment. But we seek to promote intergenerational friendships, coming into this community, spending time with people of different age ranges, because the multitude of voices helps us. We cannot live independently. So there's the value of intergenerational friendships. There's the value of diversity, true diversity, people coming from all walks of life. We do not want to be in places where we're just engaged in groupthink, we all think the same things. We want to be in a place where there's healthy, healthy disagreement, healthy interaction. I think this is so important as we think of Christian community. where we're willing to engage with those outside of the Christian community, where we're willing to engage with people on this campus that think very, very differently from us, and we hear what they have to say, and we really listen with the grid of God's revelation, with the grid of God's truth, but that helps shape us as individuals and as a church. So think of times in your life when you've done what seems right, what really appears to be right, and it has gotten you into trouble. This is the wisdom of Proverbs. There's often a difference between what seems true and what is true. So we need to go back to what voices will we listen to? If this is true, if there's a way that really seems right in my heart, then the counsel I should listen to is not just follow your heart, Jim, but there's this way that seems right, and a lot of people are telling me it's right, but I need to be a person who's listening. First, listening again to God and to God's word. Because we're living a certain way, we will be people who are drawn to this book, realizing as we make decisions, as we think about relationships, as we engage in our marriages and our parenting and all these, and as we work, as we sleep, all these things, that we need a voice from the outside. There's nothing inside us that we can drum out. We need the word of God. So we will be a people who go to God's word out of need. Need for guidance. Need for direction. Need for correction. Right? The word of God is living and active. And what will it do? It will teach me what is right. It will lead me in the way I should go. It will correct me and rebuke me. And this is the gift from God to lead me. So we will be a people who listen to God's word, and we will be a community who seeks the counsel, the instruction, and the correction of others. And I think we really have to slow down here. Again, we addressed some of this last week. But this is simple. This is simple. But how often are we impacted by the world we live in? We live, right, in this day and age in a very independent place where we do not seek counsel. We're not prone to listen to others. Well, what is God's word? How does God's word come and shape us and correct some of these opinions? If I'm someone who's about to make a big decision, if I'm thinking about moving somewhere and I'm a part of a church community, I don't just think about this on my own. I seek counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there's much wisdom. I talk to people. Now, I'm not going to agree with all my counselors because all my counselors won't always think the same. But I'll receive that and help, let that shape the way that I live my life. I will be someone who listens well. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I think in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, if you turn there, does something similar in presenting these two ways. And he gives a few details to this way that leads to death that are helpful here. Philippians, starting in verse 3 and 17 through 4:1. He gives a few descriptive phrases to describe this way. Look at 3:17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. What is this way that seems right but leads to destruction? How does Paul describe a similar way that their end is destruction? First, he says their God is their belly. They are given to their desires. And think about, in our present context, the world we live in, how most people are encouraged to think about their desires. Desires are what define a person. Desires lead to identity. Desires, in a sense, are promoted as one's God. There is a way that seems right that everyone around is saying is right. But sadly, its end is death. So we live in this context where this is promoted, and we must go back to the wisdom of God. We must place ourselves under God's word, and we must have this shape us, not the prevailing message around us that really sometimes resonates with our hearts. It really seems right. It really feels right. It really sounds so good. There's even part of us that there's a sadness that it isn't right. And we feel rightly so. We feel that the burden that this places on certain people, but we're not to live according to our desires. The love of God, the word of God tells us that we live according to his truth, Lord, according to his design, according to his ways, and we know this is right. We know this is good. We know this leads to life. Again and again in Proverbs, the way of wisdom leads to life, good life now, forever life. So this way that seems right, and so many people are telling us it's right, but God's wisdom is different. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. What they give themselves to, what is considered glory today, what is promoted in the world around us turns into something that will leave them empty. Only shame. These pursuits that are encouraged, these pursuits that are promoted around us, this way that seems right, everybody's doing this, this is what I should do, this is the degree I should go after, this is clearly what I should do. It gives the most money. Of course I'm going to do this. Of course, it's not wrong to pursue a career with a lot of money. But the wise person will be thoughtful and not give themselves completely to these things. Their glory is their shame. And Paul says their mind is set on earthly things. That's a strong word. Their whole focus is on earthly things, not considering anything else but earthly things. This is the way that seems right. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's something that resonates in that. That mindset on earthly things. We don't want to be too heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, right? There's something that resonates in our hearts. And again, that leads us to be a people who listen to God and his word, which means we're in his word. And we're not approaching his word because we know this is what we should do. Well, that might help. Sometimes just have the duty. But we're approaching God's word as a people who need God's guidance, need God's sharpening influence, who need to be changed, who come in humility. God, speak to me. God, rebuke me. God, correct me. Dependent on God. There's a way that seems right, but its end is the way of death. But we are invited into the way of wisdom, the way that is right. It's marked by what we've already considered, listening to God, listening to others, being dependent on him. And I think Paul points to a very key aspect of this way when he says there are those who walk in this way of destruction who are enemies of the cross of Christ. A central part of these two ways and them diverging is the cross of Christ. Then he says, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come and transform us by the power, by his power, he will come and transform us. So what is this way that seems right? Different ways that this is referred to in Scripture. It's the way of weakness, right? In weakness, we find true strength. It's the way of humility. It's the way of dependence. The way that is right is walking before God in the fear of the Lord. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we've said that this fear is proper respect for God, the one who made us, the one who rules all things. The way that is right is walking before God, acknowledging his power, acknowledging his person, acknowledging his grace. This is the way that is right. This is the way we must walk. This is the way that we're invited into every time we come together. And again, as I've been studying Proverbs over the last few weeks, I find God's grace so amazing that whatever pathway we have been on, we may have come into this room walking in extreme independence, doing our own thing, just boldly going before, you know, doing whatever we want. We may have been living so foolishly, and yet some reason we're here this morning and God's word comes to us and this invitation comes again. Leave your simple ways. Leave the way of folly. Come, embrace wisdom. I think that's so amazing. You could be a 70-year-old man today who's lived your whole life just doing whatever you want because you know what is right. You have all the right political opinions. You have all the right, so you may be there that here this morning. You might be have lived a life like that, and yet God's word comes and says, come, taste freely of this wisdom. It's before you. How do you receive it? You come in humility. You come with open hands. Lord, I need you. I've lived as a fool. I've lived independently. I haven't listened to you. Lord, I need you, and this wisdom is given. This is the beauty of God's grace. He invites us into this, each of us, the young, the old, the foolish, the simple, even the scoffer in Proverbs. The one who has rejected God is invited to come and receive this wisdom. How do we come? We come with our hands empty, saying, Lord, I need you. And we're invited into this way of wisdom, this way of blessing and life. So let me close with just a few thoughts as we've been thinking about this. Why is this true? Why is God so good to offer us this wisdom? It is the way of the gospel. It's the way of the cross. As we live our lives, we serve a God who invites us into his life again and again and again. And hopefully this is something that is emphasized here week in and week out. We come receiving the grace given to us because of Jesus. He is our wisdom. So as we're studying wisdom, we can receive this wisdom freely because he freely gives it. He gave himself for us. So we come receiving his wisdom, receiving his grace, receiving his forgiveness, and we walk in the way of the cross, people who've been shaped by what Christ has done. So we live by the way of the cross, and we're invited into this path of dependence, of listening, of grace, and of life. So a few ways we can think about this as we live our lives. I've been thinking about this recently, even thinking about ways that I've been shaped throughout my life. So I'm a kid that grew up in the 90s. So thinking back to even shows like Seinfeld, which is pretty innocuous, pretty stupid at times, but I've watched a few episodes recently, and it's just amazing to think about the ways that 9 seasons of a very popular show can shape a generation and shape the way people think about sex and think about relationships and think about marriage and think about work. It's important for us to slow down. Now, that's easy a little bit for me to look back in the 90s, but what about today? What is shaping you? In what ways are you being shaped? And is it consistent with what we see in Scripture? Again, Philippians 3 and 4, Paul is saying that we live in a context where desire is king. Yes, that's true. We live in a context where people's mindset is on earthly things. And yet Scripture comes as a grid over our lives, and we see people like Moses, Hebrews 11, who lived by faith. And when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose a different path. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God. That doesn't seem right. He chose mistreatment. He chose bondage. He chose slavery. He chose oppression. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Because he was living according to this different grid. It didn't seem right, but it was right. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He was living according to the way that is right. Well, may we be a people who walk in wisdom, who listen well to God by going to his word and seeking to be in relationships where we can listen to others. And may God lead us to be a place where God's grace is shown, where God's light shines brightly. I think of Psalm 73 and how fitting this is for these verses. Or at the beginning of Psalm 73, the way Asaph is looking at life is he really thinks it's a pretty good gig to live just for this present world. As people are living their lives, he says, they don't have any pangs until death. Their bodies are fat, which is a good thing in the Bible. Good to know. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Their life is pretty good. He said, I know God's good to Israel, but man, their life looks good. Is it really worth being pure in heart? But then he says, when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, God, truly you have set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away. They are utterly by terrors, like one a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, O God, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. This is what is true. There's a way that seems right. It looks right. Man, they're living a good life. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I saw what is true. And I will live my life, Asaph is saying. I will live my life in your presence, in this way. This will shape me. I will walk in your wisdom. It is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. Well, may God help us as we consider these verses to be a people who walk in the way that is right. This free offer, this free invitation comes that we walk in the way that is right, the way of humility, the way of listening, the way of dependence, the way of the cross. Wherever you're at in life today, you may be a young man, young woman, still considering what is good, what I should do. Hear this free offer to walk in wisdom, which doesn't mean you need to have all the answers. It means, Lord, you'll walk with this. Lord, have mercy. Lord, lead me. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. May God help us. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for your words. We thank you for this invitation to consider our ways again and again. And we pray, God, that you would lead us in the way of humility, this way of dependence, that we would be a people who listen well to you and to each other, that be ready to receive counsel, instruction, and rebuke, that you would shape us more and more into the image of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen.